Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another comic book content creator conversation. Today, I'm joined by Danny Malt, who has a very successful and very fun YouTube channel where he reviews comics. So we're going to talk to Danny about why he loves comics, why he does what he does. You know, you guys seem to really enjoy these peek behind the scenes with different comic book content creators. So we're going to have some fun today. So first of all, let me welcome you to the show, Danny. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Good to be here. Good to talk with you.
Yeah. So I always like to start off kind of with people's secret origin for comics specifically. So were they always a part of your life? Did you grow up reading them from a young age? How did you discover comics?
Yeah. So yeah, when I was a kid, I would read like Simpsons comics and Archie comics that you'd get like at the grocery store. But it wasn't until I was in high school, a friend, he was talking up The Dark Knight Returns to me. And you know, I watched the Batman cartoons and the Batman movies, but when he explained the concept of like Batman is retired, fights Superman, I was like, that sounds awesome. So he lent me his copy of Reddit, loved it. Went to the library, looking at any graphic novels they have. There was Watchmen, which I didn't know the cultural context that book was like so big, right? I was just like, okay, what's this? Sure, it's the only other book here in my library here. Love that. And then ever since then, I just started reading more comics. I wanted to get into more. I started with like going through all of Batman's biggest stories, right? And then I was like, all right, I've read that. What's next? Maybe Daredevil sounds interesting. Let's go through him, Punisher. And then indie books, want to read The Walking Dead, and you just go on from there. And then, yeah, so I've always loved comics since then. And that's sort of what got me really interested in it. And now I'm reading like, you know, the weekly comics every week.
Yeah. So you mentioned starting at the library. At some point, did you branch out and say, okay, well, now I'm going to actually start reading these things? Did you do digital? What was your outlet?
Yeah. I would like go to the bookstores and try to buy the trades, but then I started going digital, and that's pretty primarily how I read now. But if I really like something, I'll buy the trade of it for my bookshelf. But I try to get other people to read the comics, which is a struggle, I have to say. One thing, I don't know if you find this, but like in my personal life, I find it really hard to find other people that are as into comics as I am, and to talk about, you know, the weekly books that are out there. So that's one thing with my channel. I'm kind of trying to like get other people into comics and the other books that I'm into.
Yeah, so we're very similar in that way. I mean, the whole reason I do what I do is because, and my listeners have heard me say this 1,000 times, I believe there actually is a comic book out there for everybody. And the only thing you need to do to get somebody to fall in love with comics is match up the right story with the right person. And it's like a gateway thing. And then it opens up a whole world, kind of like Dark Knight Returns was for you. So that's why I do what I do. And obviously you have to have a deep love and passion for comics in order to create this content. So let's kind of shift gears here and talk about, I mean, again, you must have really fallen in love with the medium to devote so much time to it. So talk us through that kind of process of deciding, hey, I want to share this with people. I want more people reading comics. I guess I'll start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, first let me explain what my YouTube channel, sort of the videos are for people that haven't seen them. So, essentially what I do is I pick popular stories I really like, or stuff that I just find is interesting, or maybe a little bit obscure. And, I'll sort of, cover a series trade by trade. So like I've covered The Boys on my channel by Garth Ennis. And each video will be like an hour long, and I'm covering the trade, sort of making it cinematic, going through the story, paraphrasing the story a bit, narrating it, putting background music, making it kind of like in a TV show or a movie to kind of give people the story. I try to give some like cultural context, historical context for the book, as well as do a mini review afterwards that like, now that we've gone through the story, what was good about it? What was bad about it even? Like, what did I not like about it? And how does it rank versus other books we may have read? So that's sort of what my channel is. But like, why did I start it? So like, I've always kind of wanted to do something creative with my life. But, you know, I I haven't really pursued that up for the longest time, right? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a stand-up comic. That was the dream. And I've actually done stand-up a few times, 5 or 6 times. But I got turned off on that because going to nightclubs and watching hours and hours of bad open mic comics just to get your 5 minutes, I couldn't do that. I did it a few times, but I was like, in order to do this at the level I'd want to do it, I'd have to do this multiple times a week. And I'm just not going to do that. I couldn't handle it. But I love the 5-10 minutes you get on stage, though. So I wasn't going to pursue that. I wanted to do film. I loved it doing it in high school. I made videos as a part of my, you know, classes. When it came time to go to university, I applied to film school, got in, but I ended up doing the corporate business route. I was like, you know, I'm going to get a business degree because that's the smart thing to do.
Right.
And so I worked my, you know, finished my school, did my corporate job. And then now I'm 30 years old, right? And I'm like, this is going to be my life working this corporate job. So I was like, what else can I do? You know? And that's where I sort of got the idea to make YouTube videos. I followed this YouTube channel, these guys that review movies. So there's like two channels, Jeremy Johns and Chris Stuckman, and they review movies. And I like the channels, but they're not special. I would watch these guys and I would be like, I can do that. I can be as compelling as these guys are. But they're very successful because they've stuck with it for 6, 7, 8 years and they've grown this following. And now they're making, like, according to like Social Blade or websites like that, they're making a few $100,000 a year. And I'm like, well, maybe if I start a YouTube channel in 5 years, that was sort of my plan, in 5 years, maybe I could go do this full time. So I started. Initially, I was going to do like movie reviews, and then I wanted to do comic reviews as well to be kind of different. And I love comics, so kind of do 50-50. But as time went on, you know, the movie reviews, they never got that popular. And sometimes, you know, I would go to see a movie opening night, and you know, maybe not the best movie, and you know, I by myself watch the movie, try to rush out a review, and then I get like 10, 20 views on the video. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Whereas I would cover, you know, a Daredevil comic for the week, and then that would maybe get 100 views, and I didn't have to go through all the whole process of going to a movie theater and whatnot. So I started doing more of that, right? And but still, I was like, I've been doing this for 2.5 years, my channel. And for the first 10 months, like, you know, very little views, very little growth. I think I finally had 400 subscribers by the time I was at 10 months. And my most popular video had 500 views. And, you know, not much was happening in there. But I knew that Amazon was coming out with the Boys series. And I've read that years ago. And I knew it was kind of like a crazy series, like very kind of, you know, dark and funny. And not very well known at the time, right? So I knew Amazon was coming out with the show in like a month. So I was just going to do a video on volume one. That was my initial thing, just break down the story in volume one. So I do my video. All of a sudden, it gets like 1,000 views, which is still not much. But most of my videos are getting around 100, 200. So I got 1,000. I was like, all right, let me do volume two. And then that does really well. And then I'm like, okay, well, let me keep going. I'll go through the whole series. Yeah, each week put out a new video on each volume. And then the show comes out on Amazon. And then my videos just like blow up. Like all of a sudden I'm getting, you know, like 100,000 views on these videos. And all of a sudden my subscriber count's going up and I'm finally actually monetized on YouTube. So I can finally make a little bit of money finally after all that time. And yeah, that was great. And it was really like very kind of shocking and surprising to kind of have some success there. Although one thing is that, like, with success, you also get, you know, there's also the criticism aspect where I never had the views to really get right. Anything like that before. But now it's funny. So in the Boys, I would say 99% of people love my videos on it. But it's funny because I remember in volume one, there's this whole scene where Starlight is joining the Seven. and Homelander, The Deep, and one of the other ones. In order to initiate her into the group, they say that, you know, she has to like perform sexual
favors,
favors on them, right? And I remember A-Train in the comic, he does his catchphrase to join in on this. He's like, "Here comes the A-Train." And I remember when I'm going through the story, and I laughed during the narration, right? Because I found it humorous and funny. But then some people say like, "Oh, Danny Moth, he's like, he's enjoying this sexual assault going on." Like, he's such a... And which is not the case. I was just laughing at the absurdity of the writing, right? But yeah, so then beyond The Boys, I kept going, covering other series I really liked. I covered Invincible, which I'll talk more about later. I covered Jupiter's Legacy, Wanted, which I found interesting about Wanted, you know, the Mark Millar series. I wanted to cover that one because I watched the movie that came out a decade or so ago. And the comic's like, it's good. It's not the best comic, but I remember I read the comic and I watched the movie and I was like, what is this? They didn't follow the story at all. And I was like, I know there are people that have not read this comic and watched that movie and think that the movie's about, I think the comic's about a magical loom that tells the future or something, which is not in the comic at all. So I wanted to cover a video breaking down like the difference between the two. I covered Why the Last Man, which is a favorite of mine by Brian K. Vaughan, which is going to be a TV show coming up in the future. I covered Preacher, which is another favorite of mine by Garth Ennis. I just finished Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire. And I'm going through American Vampire right now by Scott Snyder, which is really fun. And yeah, and then afterwards in the future, I'm planning on getting through Sandman, Saga 100 Bullets, Criminal by Ed Brubaker is another one I want to get to. And I want to also expand my channel to covering maybe some more movie content that I've sort of neglected as I moved away from my initial vision for my channel, but I wanted to get into some of that. But yeah, I did have like a little bit of a setback where I did cover Invincible, right? Robert Kirkman's superhero series. I covered, there was 25 volumes in that, and I was very ambitious. I covered the entire 25 volumes.
Wow, yeah, a lot of work.
A lot of work, and it, you know, it was about like a half a year work, because I do about one video a week right now, which is about all I can handle. And, you know, doing these videos in preparation for the TV show, which is going to be coming out on Amazon. And then once the trailer came out, you know, my views picked up a bit for those videos. But I think within a month or two after that, Kirkman's lawyers made me take the videos down, which they were very nice about it. And they gave me ample time to comply. But that was definitely a little bit of a downside with doing the kind of videos I do. It's kind of like a little bit of copyright kind of like gray area. You know, there's some other YouTube channels that sort of do similar videos to what I do, where we kind of like cover a story and go through it. So I kind of always would look to some of those other channels, and I would see that, you know, they have a 10-hour video on the Green Lantern series. So, you know, I see these other long form kind of story breakdowns. So it didn't seem like I would be any issues with that, but that wasn't always the case there. So, but I decided, you know, I wanted to keep going, wanted to keep trying to pursue this, because I really believe that, you know, I have something here. And, you know, I'm still a fairly small YouTube channel. I have about 27,000 subscribers. And, but I really feel that, like, I see the potential for this to hopefully be a full-time kind of pursuit in the future.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. I mean, when I found out about that, all the Invincible videos being taken down, I felt so bad for you. You know, doing this as long as I have on the podcast side, it's not, I usually don't have to worry about that sort of thing with copyright, but I totally agreed with a lot of what you said. I mean, the two biggest channels, kind of Comics Historian and Comics Explained, Comics Historian has gotten to the point where they similar to what you do now, where they'll blank out the word balloon, so you can't actually, you know, see what's being said. So you're not going, especially if you're going page by page. But Comics Explained, they still put up And I don't get it. I guess maybe they just don't cover Kirkman things. I mean, when you're talking about Disney or AT&T, I guess they're such big corporations. Maybe they don't worry about it as much. But I've been at a convention where Robert Kirkman face to face threatened to sue me. So, I mean, I kind of understand where you're.
What was that about? I want more backstory. I mean, there.
He was joking, but I mean, joking in a way that he kind of makes it known that if I were to be trying to monetize something, that it would be a problem. So,
interesting.
Listeners may, you know, they probably have heard this before, but if anybody's here because they love Danny's channel, this will be a new story for you. So, I was at San Diego Comic Con, I think it was 2016 or so. And I really love this book that Skybound put out, the series called Clone. And it was written by a guy who does TV. His name's David Schulner. Right now, he's the executive producer and showrunner for New Amsterdam on NBC. But he's done previous shows in the past. Anyway, he got into this idea of doing a comic. And it was great. I fell in love with it so much. And I knew he was going to be at San Diego Comic-Con that year. So I have a buddy who works at a print shop, and he made up a couple of T-shirts for us to wear because he was going to the con too. And so we got the Clone logo from the comic, and we came up with the tagline of "Are you an original?" Because there's a scene early on in the series where the guy that created the clones is looking for the original one, because everybody has a tattoo that shows up under ultraviolet light with a number telling them which number of clone they are, but the original one has like an alpha symbol. So that's why we came up with that tagline. So I'm at the Skybound panel, and David Schulner's up there on stage, and it's being moderated by one of their editors, Sean Mankiewicz. And I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm wearing my clone shirt. And Sean says, "Yeah, so yesterday," and I had worn the clone shirt the day before, and I only wore it that day just to go to the panel. Like, I brought it with me just to wear it at the panel. And so anyway, so I had it on. And Sean sees me there, and he says, "Yeah, so yesterday I see this guy walking around with a clone shirt on." And Sean's like, you know, standing at the podium moderating the panel, and Robert Kirkman is sitting right next to him. So Sean's like, "Yeah, I saw this guy walking around with a clone shirt on yesterday. And I thought to myself, man, we did such a great job on those clone shirts. They look really great. Are you an original?" "Yeah." And then I realized we never made any clone shirts. And Robert Kirkman, he looks right at me like dead serious and says, "Yeah, you'll be hearing from my lawyers." And I was like, but I wasn't, it was personal use. I wasn't selling them. I wasn't making any money off it, anything like that. Sure. And we just made a couple of them. Like, I made one for David Schulner and his two kids. And then I had one, my son had one, and my buddy that made him had one. And so he's looking at me like that. And I was kind of, and he goes, but then throughout the panel, he'd catch my eye and be like, and then a couple minutes he'd catch my eye again and shake his head. "No." They catch my again, shake his head. So he kind of joked about it the whole time. And I know him well enough to where he'll say hi to me. "Oh, you're the guy that had the clone shirt," kind of thing now. So it's kind of funny, but he's, you know, he's a creator first and foremost. He's not one of these big giant corporations. So I think that's the reason that they're a little more protective at Skybound of their stuff. But I mean, it's like, I don't understand why some of those other channels get away with the things they get away with and you didn't, because yours was no worse or in terms of copyright that I could see. Unless, did you find out something later on that you realized it was like the trigger, basically?
Now I don't know. It's happened to me once before where I covered Lock and Key. I did maybe two, three videos. And, you know, that TV show came out on Netflix, and then boom, they would have to take them down. So I guess it's maybe, you know, the indie creators are more protective versus DC or Marvel, which maybe they're so big, they feel it is good, you know, just good free marketing for them, right? Yeah, which it's sort of like the argument I make where, you know, like even Comic Story and Comics Explained, even though they do cover so much, sometimes, you know, the thing is, like, so many people, they, you know, they watch the comic movies and they watch the TV shows, but they don't read the books, a lot of people. Yeah. So I feel like, at least in many ways, at least getting the stuff out there is good promotion for all this comic content stuff. No, I don't know specifically like why, you know, those particular videos got taken down, you know, and it's a shame because, like, you know, they were very good. And also I love, you know, I don't know Kirkman personally, but like, he's one of my favorite writers, like Invincible, one of my all time favorite comics, Walking Dead, also like very, you know, great. Even some of the, I'm reading his Firepower series that's on right now. That's pretty fun too. Not as good as the other ones, but still not bad, right?
Yeah, it's too bad. And you hope in the future you'll be able to like repurpose those, or I don't know, maybe Kirkman will at some point want to host them on his site. It's so nebulous, the whole, you know, copyright thing. It does sound like, though, a lot of the series that you cover have been or will be in other mediums for comics. Do you do that because you find that people will discover it in other media and then wonder about the source material, or does it just come from your love of film as well?
Yeah, so it was definitely a little bit of both. Like, I, you know, I've read Why the Last Man in the past, and it was something that it was always one of my favorite series. And I did say, like, oh, I do know that this is going to be into a show, so let me adapt it, because maybe I will get a bump with it, like I did with my boys videos, which were still by far my most popular videos on my channel, which, by the way, I'm also even though they're my most popular, there's things about it that, like, my audio was not the best, and I'm so much better now, and I wish people would go down the rabbit hole and see some of my later videos, which are much better now. But yeah, so I did sort of strategically pick some series because of that, but I also do try to pick stuff that that I just do find interesting and do love. So, like, one series, which was I'm very proud of, video I covered, was this Mark Russell Flintstones book. I don't know if you read that one.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So that was one of my favorite comics of last decade. And I remember when it came out, I read it for the novelty of it, expecting it to be bad, because most of these, like, Hanna-Barbera comics are like not good. But that ended up being one of my favorite series. I thought it was so smart, and the satire is so clever. So, and I know most people have not read that book, because it's, why would you? It's very, Mark Russell's not even a super famous writer, especially at the time. But yeah, so I covered that series throughout, and it did really well. Lots of good reactions to it. People, like, never heard of it, and now people are going out and buying it, and they love it, and they're sharing it with other people, and they're buying copies for other people. So yeah, I'm really glad to sort of shine a light on those sort of smaller series as well. Which, one thing with my channel I struggle with is that I have a full-time job, or I work 9 to 5, and then I do this on the side, and you know, each video takes me about 15 hours of work or so. And I want to cover more, and I can't, like, it's like so hard, because you know, I work 9 to 5, and then all right, 5 o'clock, work on my like YouTube script, and then editing for 3-4 hours each night, and then it's like I don't have time to do more as much as I want to, which is why I'm really sort of like, even though my channel is not at the level I want it to be right now, I'm contemplating trying going full time for a year and seeing if I could grow it to a higher level, if I'm putting out 2 or 3 or 4 videos a week, and see how that would go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started off on YouTube myself, and I sort of had a lot of the same timing issues. You know, I was working at the time as a chef. So, you know, 60 hours a week, and then the post-production for doing videos, people just don't realize, you know, I was only doing like 11 or, you know, to 15 minute was my target time frame. And even that is 2 or 3 hours of editing, when you're putting in graphics and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why I switched over to doing the podcasting. Now I'm thinking about getting back into the YouTube stuff a little bit, only because there's so many people that just do live, you know, and I won't worry about that much post-pro. But we'll see. We'll get, I mean, I still have, you know, I'm putting out 8 to 10 episodes a week, just audio. So, but it's so interesting. One of the things that I love about doing it is, you know, I've been reading comics for over 40 years since I was, you know, very small, basically since the time I could read, you know, since I was 4 or 5 years old. And it's opened so many doors. I've met so many creators. Have you had the opportunity? Has this opened any doors for you in terms of, you know, having contact with publishers or meeting creators or getting to go to cons? Have you been able to take advantage of any of that sort of thing?
No, I haven't. I haven't really pursued that as much though, because well, I've been doing this for 2.5 years, and like I said, my first 10 months, I was nobody. It wasn't until 10 months where I finally had a little bit of a following. That's something I would be interested in talking to more creators. The only thing I get is people email me that are like Kickstarter comics, and they're like, "Oh, could you please cover it?" And I don't have the time to cover it. They're books that I've never heard of. So, but yeah, I definitely would like to pursue that more.
I mean, and that, I mean, I'm in a different position, obviously, than you are. And I love hearing from those people. And we do a Kickstarter Wednesday, only because you never know who is going to be the next
That's true.
person, you know, and they will remember that you were there to help them out. So,
I know. I really want to check up more of those really kind of underground books and see if they're really good or not. I like at one time when I first my very first one, I read it and I was like, "Oh, this is bad."
yeah, that's always.
This guy would not want me making a video on his comic
Yeah.
if I have to be truthful.
Yes, I've had that experience as well, where I've gone and sat down with people at San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con and done a great interview with them, and oh, their book sounds great. And then I say, okay, I'm going to buy some material, I'll take it home, and then I'll do a review of it and have you back on the show. And I'd read it and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not good. Then you just seem feel bad. And I usually just kind of ghost those. I mean, it's terrible to say, but better to, I'm not going to bring them on and attack them, or make them feel bad. Nobody sets out to make a bad comic, as I say all the time. So just kind of let it go by the wayside. So yeah,
Yeah,
that's
one
interesting.
time I because he asked me for like feedback. So I wrote like a whole constructive criticism, but then in the end he didn't really care. He's just like, "So are you gonna cover
Yeah, yeah,
it?"
yeah.
No.
Yeah, they just want the bump. And I get it. I mean, they're hustling and they're trying to do, the best job they can. So yeah, so I mean, you mentioned that a lot of the stuff you cover in trade. Have you ever get, I mean, you have a decent following. I mean, 27,000 followers, nothing to sneeze at. Have you thought about doing some more off the cuff stuff where you don't have to necessarily do, post-production? Like maybe, you say you get your new comics every Wednesday, like the rest of us, Wednesday Warriors. Any thoughts of just doing like real quick, 5 minute, hey, I picked this up, this, are your, do you think your followers might find value in that?
So when I first started my channel, that's more so what I was going for. That's like when I had no following really. I was doing my movie reviews, and then I would do one issue at a time that I would try to cover books that came out that week and try to explain the plot a bit. I would show a little bit of the images and then give a review of it. That's something I definitely want to do more of, covering some of these more kind of obscure books. Like I read this one, I think it was 2 weeks ago or a week, Space Bastards. Have you
Oh
heard of
yeah,
this book?
with the fluorescent cover.
Yeah, like I thought it
Yeah.
was pretty fun. It's not the greatest book ever, but like I thought it was fun. And that's something I would definitely want to cover. I haven't done it yet though, because I don't have the time, but like that's something I really want to do more. One thing I've always, once I had more time, because I have a Patreon as well. And right now the only kind of perk I give my patrons is that they can watch my videos early, so as soon as I finish it, they can watch it. But like, I want to have more sort of exclusive videos for them, or have them maybe vote on a book that came out that week, and then I would do a video on it,
Right.
and sort of have. So that's something I really want to do, cover more of those like individual issues. And but yeah, timing. But one
Yes.
day though, one day.
Yep. No, I'm in the same boat. There's never enough time. Take us through your process for creating a video. Obviously, you decide what you're going to cover, you sit down, you record it, and then
Yeah,
like
sure. So,
what are the tools you use, software, that kind of thing?
yeah, I have my comics. They're like in JPEGs, so I have JPEGs of like each page, right? And I removed the text now, so from Photoshop. So I was doing that myself, but then I've since got my girlfriend's brother, and I pay him a little bit of money, so he does that for me now every week. I was doing all the editing myself, and one of my friends from work is an editor, so I sort of brought him on now, and I get him to edit some stuff. Anyway, but let me start at the beginning. So I have my the comic, right? And I use OneNote and I write my script. So I, you know, go page by page, try to summarize, paraphrase what's happening, etc. And I basically write the entire script of what, you know, goes down in the comic and whatnot. And then I use Audacity software to record. So, you know, and I record as I go along. So I'm recording, and then if I mess up, I just stop the audio, delete what I messed up, and then I continue. You know, I didn't always used to do that. When I started, I was just like recorded. Even if I screwed up, I would keep recording. But then I'd have to listen to the whole thing back, find where I screwed up.
Yeah.
It was so inefficient. So I was like, no, I'll record, stop, fix, and go on. So yeah, I do that. And then I use, once the audio is done recording and Premiere Pro, you know, throw the audio in there. And then I lay down the images and sort of like, you know, we do some sort of creative panning and zooming and whatnot. And then once that's all done, the images are laid out over the audio, then I have a subscription to this service called Epidemic Sound, which lets you download like background kind of music. Mm-hmm. So in all my videos, I have like background music to set the tone for what's going on in a particular scene. And this website's really good. If you're someone like me, like I'm so impressed with the variety of music they have, you know, like sometimes I'm like, all right, I want a 1970s like hippie vibe or whatever. And I search and I find something that's like, oh, it's perfect. Or so, yeah. And then we lay the audio under it. And then I record an introduction where I'm actually on screen and I have a green screen. And then I record like a sort of a final thoughts on the video where I give my review and if I liked it or not. And then, you know, edit that in and then export it and go from there. So yeah, it's a big process there. But yeah, so with my editor, what I do is once I record the audio, I sync my files to him using this service called, what's it called? Resilio Sync. It's really cool. It's like, it uses like torrent technology or something. So mm-hmm. It's just like the folders are always in sync on our computers. And then he edits the images and audio. And then when I get it back, I watch it back, which is really fun for me because, you know, I used to do this all by myself, right? But now it's fun that I record the audio and then, when I get it back, it's done, right? And then I get to sit back and watch, like, I feel like how comic creators, you know, the writers will write the script and then the artist does their work and then finally the writer gets it back. It's like, oh, interesting what you did with it.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that you have a couple of people helping you really, really helps out. And again, it goes to show, and you know, people who aspire to do this, it is so much work. I mean, Danny's talking about, you know, 12 to 15 hours per video, and he has some help. So you can only imagine how long it takes if you're, you know, doing everything yourself. And again, it goes to show the passion and the love of the medium that somebody's doing this. And like you said, you're making a little bit of money now, but certainly, you know, not enough to do it full time unless you, you know, were to take the plunge. So I applaud you, and I, you know, I'll take the chance here to tell all you listeners, it's a great channel. I really enjoy it. Danny doesn't come at it from the point of being overly analytical, you know, because I know there are channels out there that really get down into the nuts and bolts, and you may not want to know. You just want to know, hey, is the story good? What are some of the things that work? What are some of the things that don't? So before we continue, Danny, because the reality is some people don't listen to all the way to the end of the podcast, so I like to give the creators a chance to plug their stuff here in the middle. Let us know where we can find your channel on YouTube, how to find it on YouTube. And if you're active on any social media, go ahead and let listeners know where they can find you there as well.
Yeah. So my channel is just my name, Danny Malt. And if you go on YouTube, you'll be able to find that up. That's also my Twitter handle. And I'm on Instagram as well, but like, I really don't use it as much as I should. I need to get on more of the social media stuff with that. But yeah, you can, so check that out. And if any of the comics that I've mentioned sound interesting to you, you know, go to my channel, check it out. Check out my Flintstones video. Check out Why the Last Man, Preacher, American Vampire, and then all the other stuff I mentioned for the future. And you can see what I'm doing there.
Yeah, everybody, I'll put a link to Danny's YouTube channel in the show notes, as well as a link to his Twitter as well. So if you're having trouble finding him, you can just go to the show notes and click there. Something else I wanted to ask you, kind of going hand in hand with what I was saying about you doing, you know, kind of these more fan-centric reviews rather than getting down into, oh, well, this, you know, this panel or these blacks weren't spotted right, or, you know, they're going outside the gutter, you know, getting real technical, which some people do. Do you ever have anybody from the community say, well, what the heck gives you the, you know, expertise to review these comics? Do you ever hear those kind of things from your community?
What was this book? Oh, fuck. There was this one time, I forget what it was. Maybe it was like an Ahoy comic or something. Mm-hmm. And the writer of the book or the artist or whatever, they had like a little, you know, script in the back, mm-hmm. Like where they write some like commentary. And he mentioned something about like how he was a huge like Rush Limbaugh fan and huge like ultra conservative. And in my review, I commented on that. And it turns out he was being sarcastic and I totally misread it. And he actually commented on the video and was like criticizing me for that. So I was like, oh, you know what? Okay. I actually re-edited that one and changed it. I had, you know what? There was this one comic I covered, Maneaters from Chelsea Kane, I think it was.
She yeah. wrote it.
Yep. And this is when my channel was very small. I didn't have much of a following. And I read issue one and I didn't even give it a very like a huge endorsement or anything. I think I give little scores. I think I gave like a 7 out of 10 or something, but I said like, it was fine. It's good. But there was this whole controversy because it's like this Comicsgate crowd. They really yeah. hate her. Yeah. And I didn't know this. And all of a sudden I'm getting a little bit more views than normal on that one. And a lot of people, criticizing because I didn't hate the book enough for them,
right?
And yeah, and Chelsea Kane actually commented on that like she's glad that I was like supporting her on that. But no one's really said like who are you, what gives you the right to criticize. And one of the videos I did on Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire, I mentioned that like I think the artwork is, you know, it's unique to the book and I think it works for the story, but like I know, and even the comments, people don't like the artwork. It's not the most flashy
yeah.
artwork. And and one of the issues they had some other writer doing one of the like the backup stories, and I commented that like, you know, I can't draw for shit here, but I gotta say like this, it was really rough these couple pages, this few issues here where this other artist came on. And you know, I guess it's like, who are you to criticize? I know, but you got to put your commentary out there. I mean, even movie reviewers, they're not making movies, and you got to put your commentary on it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I get those comments sometimes from people that will reach out because they and most of the time it's just because they didn't agree with how you took it. And I always say, if nobody sets out to make a bad comic, and if I'm giving a comic a poor review, a lot of the times I'll say, well, I didn't like it because, you know, I didn't like the art, and here's why I didn't like the art. I don't like their line work, or I don't like the colors, or I don't like the, you know, that it's too stylized for me, or whatever the, you know, the reason might be. I'm not saying that nobody will like it, and you support what you like, you know, I get that. But then there are times where technically they've made mistakes that are, you know, so bad. And usually those are comics that are poorly reviewed by everybody. So yeah, you have to kind of walk that fine line. And the thing is, the longer you do it and the longer you've been reading comics, I feel like it gives you a little more integrity. People can kind of know, you know, after following your content, if you know what you're talking about or not. At least I think so.
You know, so The Boys, big series I covered, right? Well, The Boys, Dear Becky, mini series, like sequel spin-off series,
yeah,
I'm covering that. So I've recorded my audio for it, and it was not good. I don't know if I've read The Boys, Dear Becky, like I love the original series, but yeah, I haven't recorded my review portion of that video. It's going to be going out next week or so, but that's one series that a lot of people loved my channel for, The Boys, and I'm gonna have to be critical on this Boys Dear Becky series because it just really was not as strong as it should be for Garth Ennis and for as much as I like the original series. So
yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it does happen. And sometimes it's even more awkward for myself because I know, you know, you get to know these comic creators personally, and then you just but you got to keep your integrity. Like, if I don't like something, I'm going to say I don't like it. And I'm sorry that I know you personally, you know, whoever you are, but, and it's not an attack on you. It's just, man, this didn't work for me for, you know, these reasons. So yeah, it's an interesting, I won't say conundrum, but because the whole idea of comics journalism is so interesting. Because it used to be when there weren't these movie studios and comics weren't at the center of pop culture. You know, if we go back before Iron Man in 2008, you know, before the MCU, before Disney owned Marvel, before AT&T owned Warner Brothers, which in turn owns DC Comics, there wasn't as much, at least from the corporate perspective, there wasn't as much money at stake, right? So the people kind of left, yeah, just let those nerds read their comics and they, you know, weren't that worried about it. You know, now that there's all this money involved, I feel like more people pay attention to comics, but it's kind of a double-edged sword because now you have more eyes on it. People can be more critical. And, you know, if you're reviewing something they love and you don't particularly like it, yeah, it can be rough.
Yeah. Like, I don't know any creators personally, so I don't have that. The only thing I guess I have is like, when you are such an immense fan of someone's particular work, and then all of a sudden you read something and you're like, oh, this is really not up to the normal for this person. So then you kind of feel weird criticizing that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what's going on at DC right now with Future State, where we're covering it on Future State Fridays, as my listeners will know, but the artwork almost across the board just seems like everybody's rushed, even artists that you expect them to do a really great job and have done a really great job in the past. It's just not up to the usual thing. And you can't help but wonder, man, what the heck's going on?
Yeah. I've been checking them out and, I don't know.
Yeah.
Future State.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's maybe semi unpopular opinion, some big stuff that I'm not a huge fan of. I didn't really love Scott Snyder's death metal, Dark Knight's metal thing.
You are not alone.
Which is like, I feel like that was all DC the all last year, right? Like it was all that. And I'm just not into it. And even his Justice League, I remember reading that and it's like Perpetua and the Source Wall. And I was like, I don't know. Like, what is this, Scott? Like, that's tough because back when he was doing Batman, in the early 2010s, it was so good. It was like my favorite. And now I'm just like, what are you doing, Scott?
Yeah, I hear that from a lot of Scott. I hear that from a lot of Scott Snyder fans. And you know, what's so interesting to me is when we talk about that sort of thing on my podcast a lot, because one of the guys I collaborate with a lot, Dark Knight Nation, who also has a YouTube channel, and he's his channel is called Dark Knight Nation. He got into comics because of Batman and because of the Scott Snyder run, because of the Grant Morrison run on Batman as well. But yeah, he hasn't liked anything Scott has done in recent years, and he feels so bad criticizing it, but yet he does, because again, he has to be honest. Another part of the reason that's so interesting to me and that I usually have a less harsh take than he does, it comes with that legacy and having a longer timeline reading comics and seeing the cyclical nature of it. So I think that sort of plays into it too. I mean, you must feel like you understand comics and can pull more out. You know, like I said, your reviews aren't super analytical, but you must feel like since you started that you're better at analyzing and figuring out, okay, why did this work for me? You know, why did it not work for me? That kind of thing. Do you feel like you've kind of grown your knowledge base and history and that kind of thing while you've been doing this?
Yeah, for sure. I think like I only feel comfortable talking about, you know, these comics because I have read so much and I know like the history of all the stuff. So like even like with Scott Snyder, if you were someone that's just reading him now and you haven't read his early Batman work and you haven't seen him evolve and you haven't seen his like American Vampire and like how what he can do, and then you see how he's sort of changed now, like without that context you don't really know as much as of what you're kind of saying. And so yeah, I feel like that background knowledge does sort of help with your sort of being able to look at stuff critically.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Well, Danny, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'm sure you have videos to go and work on, but it's been great chatting with you. You know, once I hit the stop button on record, listeners, Danny and I are gonna have a little talk. I would love to, because some of the things you talk about wanting to do, maybe we can find a way to bring you on the podcast. You don't have to worry about doing anything, but just talking about, you know, some of the things you like. So, and listeners, please reach out to me and let me know if you'd love to see Danny or love to hear Danny on any particular of the episodes that we do. And I highly encourage everybody to go and check out his channel as well. He's got some really great content out there for sure. So as we're finishing up here, Danny, is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
No, that's it. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. Again, remember, there will be links to Danny's YouTube channel and his social media in the show notes. So be sure you go click there, give him a follow on Twitter, give him a subscribe on YouTube. And I really appreciate that. So thanks for listening, as always, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.